We got a bunch of great guests coming by. Alvin Kamara, Stefan Diggs will be joining us soon. But right now, we've got a special guest in the house, two-time Super Bowl champ James Harrison is with us. How are you doing, James? Nice
to
see you.
Great. How you doing?
I leaned over to you and I said, you work out? Look, this big.
Famously.
You can't work out.
And I understand we're going to talk about things other than James Harrison. He's the analyst with the network. But you can't have the career trajectory James Harrison had without getting every last bit of juice out of the athletic berry that you were gifted. So it's really an unbelievable career.
A lot of prayer, too, now. Don't forget that.
Okay. There you go.
Gotta pray.
Okay. God bless.
Yeah.
All right. James, it's time for a segment we like to call Say What? No one has been able to match the talent of Patrick Mahomes during this Chiefs postseason run, but that didn't stop Tyreek Hill from trying his best. Mahomes' impression last night. Say what?
What's my favorite Patrick Mahomes moment? Probably when he comes in the huddle and he sounds like a frog. That's probably my favorite moment. I crack up every time.
Do it right.
I can't do that no more. Cause he ain't gonna throw me the ball no more.
That was actually pretty good.
Would you be able?
I don't know. That wasn't. It's a little deeper. It's a little
frogier.
I can't do it.
Tyreek wasn't doing it. Yeah. You just can't quite do it.
Yeah, I just can't. Yeah, I just can't quite do it.
Would you be able to keep him in the pocket? Coaches said for 2 years, just keep Patrick Mahomes in the pocket. Be an outside linebacker that can do it. Would you be able to do it?
I mean, to be able to consistently keep him in the pocket, I don't think you'd be able to do that because he's a very athletic quarterback and he can still throw the ball like on the money while he's running. I think the thing that you need to do is not let him be comfortable in the pocket, of course, and get pressure on him. And I feel with Bosa and the Fisher matchup, I really believe that if Bosa goes in there and does what he needs to do, that's going to be a great matchup and he'll come out on top of that and it will affect the outcome of that game.
All right, speaking of pocket passers, let's talk some Tom Brady. He'll be a free agent for the first time in his career. Another legendary quarterback, Joe Montana, is advising Tom to stay in New England. Remember, Montana left the 49ers, spent his last few seasons with the Chiefs. James, I'll start with you. Do you think Tom Brady should stay with the Patriots?
I think Tom Brady should do exactly what it is that he wants to do. Me personally, from the outside looking in, I can't imagine seeing Tom Brady in another jersey. It just doesn't make sense. And with that, on top of that, they don't have anyone there that is the heir apparent to come in and be a successor to him right now. So for him to leave and for them to allow him to leave, it just doesn't make sense to me right now.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where he has his best chance to be successful if he stays there. And the fact that Josh McDaniels stayed and ideally Dante Scarnecchia stays, he has the ability, that connection. So he's not starting over with a new offensive coordinator. And all the guys that were new this year, they're going to take a step up next season after working with him throughout the season. You go somewhere else, everything is a challenge. You have to figure out where to park. You have to figure out where to live. You've got to figure out what the playbook looks like, who has what skill set. None of those steps are part of the process of him staying. And at this point in his career with such little time left, this gives him his best chance to be great again.
Well, there's a lot of reasons that I think Brady is leaning towards leaving, and I think the Patriots have opened the door to him. But instead of getting into that, though, I want to ask you a question because I understand you obviously were not only a Steeler, but everyone remembers you when you became James Harrison, defensive player of the year, Super Bowl champion with the Steelers, and then you left for a year, and then you came back. And I know outside linebacker is different than quarterback, but how difficult was that transition even for you at your spot going to Cincinnati and then returning to Pittsburgh a year later?
Like you said, the learning curve. That was the biggest thing. I actually went from a 3-4 defense to a 4-3 defense. You know, I had to actually, you know, swap where on 3-4s you just stay on the same side and you're just what you do swaps. Like you said, it's getting a whole lay of the land. You know, how are you going to get your people in there? Of course, he has, you know, his trainer. You know, are they going to allow him the same access that, you know, the Patriots allow him there? So for me, it was worth it because it continued my career. Yep. But it was, if I could go back and do it over again, would I? I probably wouldn't. I would have probably found a way to try and work it out with the Steelers.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Can I follow up? I remember that period of time. It's not like you were itching to get out of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. It was an element of they left the door open for you to leave, I imagine.
Well, what happened is they wanted me to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
And I was okay with taking a pay cut as long as they guaranteed something. They wouldn't guarantee anything, which would allow you to try and make me take another cut before.
Which is the reason I bring it up is because there are a lot of similarities with what's happened with Brady in the last 12 months. Is that you were a guy, we talk about it, you made one of the single greatest plays in Super Bowl history, flipped a game. You won Defensive Player of the Year. You were a champion with this organization. And then you were still a very good player, even if you weren't the best defensive player in the league. And they're like, all right, we're going to cut your money here. All right, I'll do it. But then give me something in the back end. Won't do that for you. And I imagine you felt disrespected to a degree. Brady went to him last year. Didn't ask to be the highest paid quarterback. Didn't ask for any of the things a lot of quarterbacks would, but said, hey, I want to play till I'm 45. I'd like a contract extension. We just won a Super Bowl. And they refused him that. How much do you think that disrespect will play into his decision?
I mean, of course you're going to have that chip on your shoulder. But when you look at it, and you know, like he was saying, for his best opportunity to succeed, going somewhere else, I don't think is that. I think what he needs to do is just whatever they have to do to work it out. I believe they'll be able to work it out because of his relationship that he has with Kraft. And I've seen it in action when I was there for those few months. And it is a tight relationship. So I feel like they'll be able to work that out and find a way to get him the pieces that he needs to be more successful that he was missing last year.
And the thing that James said about going to Cincinnati, that learning curve and what you want to be able to do as a player is play fast.
Right.
And to play up to your ability. And when you're thinking, when you're trying to figure out who these guys are that you're playing with, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, understanding the offensive coordinator, understanding the dynamic of the team, all that stuff slows you down. And when you're where Tom is, he doesn't have the time to help coach all those people up to where he needs to be. And he has the gift of Josh McDaniels not getting a head coaching job, so he has that continuity. And ideally, Dante Scarnecchia stays and Bill's in place and all those things he's set up to be successful. And maybe he's being disrespected, but he was disrespected when he was a sixth-round draft pick, too. I mean, there's been that element throughout his career.
And think about what James said. Despite feeling disrespected by the team, you still, to this day, there's a part of you that regrets leaving. You wish you could have played it all out.
Yeah, it's a part of me that, you know what I'm saying, wish I could have played out. But at the end of the day, it came down to a business decision. And the business decision told me, don't take this because this is a better move. And at the end of the day, they asked you to take a pay cut already. What's going to stop him from doing
right.
it again?
Okay. But your gut is that he goes back to New England?
That's my gut.
It's a big gut. I mean, just it's a healthy gut. It's a strong gut with a lot of pectoral gut.
I can't believe you said that to me. Have you ever seen his videos? That's not a big gut.
We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has now teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, so you have less stress, so you perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. And if you head to calm.com/sports40, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/sports40. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/sports40. That's calm.com/sports40. Look who's here. Frank Caliendo is joining us.
What's happening here?
Yeah, listen, I do a stand-up comedy, hey. And with stand-up comedy, I love when the audience is directly behind me. This is perfect.
Right, as opposed to right in front of you.
I've been trying to shake your hand for 5 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I thought that was a welcoming wingspan.
Good to see you, Frank.
All right, Frank, we're going to dive right in.
Greg and I already have teamwork.
You do. You have chemistry. We don't have it yet. We will. Give us till the end of the segment.
We're all going to have it's going to be different. It's going to be teamwork, but not the same kind.
All right, clearly we're just talking Super Bowl this week, and you're a big sports fan on top of everything else you do. If you were Patrick Mahomes getting ready for this
you're going
big
right
game,
into that? You're going to try and work the Patrick Mahomes?
Tell me about
Mahomes.
Your suit. Where did you get it, and how did you put it on?
See, I'm working on the Patrick Mahomes, and everybody keeps saying it's Froggy, and they think Kermit the Frog. I think it's more Fozzie Bear, because when you listen to him, he's got that kind of thing where it kind of talks like this.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from. I don't know. I was trying to. So I try to figure out where that is and get to it, so I can't just. I'm more of a magician than a wizard. That's what I'm trying to say.
When people are like,
hey, can you just do this voice out of the blue? No, it takes a lot of time to work on it.
So how long did it take you to master? Because you have absolutely mastered Gruden.
Instantaneously. That one, no. I tell you what, man. It's if you can get that face going, you start making the look there, and you start to think like the person. I would say it started out pretty decently. But then over time, it gets better and better and better. Now I've got my daughter doing it. I don't know if you've seen some of the stuff on Instagram and stuff. But my daughter's like, I'll tell you what, man. I'll tell you what, man. That's tremendous. I love what you're doing right there. So, and people like her Gruden impression more than mine right now.
I'm curious. You were mentioning right before we started that these, and you just alluded to it there. You find a person, and then you, I think people who don't do it don't understand. How do you figure out how you're going to do it?
Well, you have to find the cadence of the person first, right? If you're watching, or you find a phrase that gets you into it. So with Gruden, obviously, I'll tell you what, man. You find that kind of thing and then go into it. How many Christopher Walkens have you heard? You've heard low, you've heard high, you've heard in the middle. Barack Obama, you talk slow at the beginning and speed up at the end, right?
So
you
good.
Find
it's
out
so
what
good.
Those things are. Or with the old school, like the George W. Bush, you make the face, you get going there. People know where it's coming. When I started out, the Madden thing was what everybody knew me for. And I tried to do it exactly the way he talked, and then you would say the things and do the things he would do, and then do that type of thing. But then I turned it into just this character of just... and then people get mad at me like, that doesn't sound anything like John Madden. I'm like, well, I got bored doing the John Madden. Or you find somebody like Charles Barkley. When Charles Barkley's got the terrible, that's really, really bad. Think about everything that's going on. You look
so
at everything that happens. I look, Greg's one of the guys that starts to do the face when you're doing something. Like, he starts good. I was doing good.
I am, because I noticed that's important.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Watching you on social, everything you do, you, like, become the character. I literally look at you, like, when you transform yourself into Andy Reid, John Gruden.
Andy
like,
Reid.
You yeah. literally
well, that's a good
it's one of those, I just throw a mustache on and go like this a little bit.
You're
and
Andy. Right.
And then I do the Patrick Mahomes voice with him. I had no idea I was going to, you know. Then it's kind of like some type of merge of universes, I guess.
Go ahead.
No, please.
Have you ever tried to tackle a voice and just... couldn't do it, someone you
constantly.
Wanted?
Constantly, that happens all
oh,
the
really?
Time. Yeah, I only show the ones that I'm fairly decent at. So people think you're a lot better at this than you are because you're only putting out there the ones that, I've talked to, there's a lot of people that do some like really great impressions and it's like a little community of people that talk about it. Ross Marquand, who's on The Walking Dead, Piat Michael, there's some different people that I know that do some, a guy was on a podcast with me, John Holmberg. We kind of workshop them almost back and forth and go, how does this sound to you?
Yeah.
Does that sound to you? And people have different versions of the impression that they're doing.
I feel like, though, it almost, you know, it's a superpower that could be used for good or for evil. Because on a phone, you could, I feel like you could change Gruden or Madden's travel plans. There's a lot, like, there's a lot of things you could do with that ability to sound identical to those people.
Yeah, kind of, I'll tell you what, man. I got some idea. I'm not going to take, I'm going to take a bus the whole way like Madden this time. What do you think about that? You think that's a good idea? Hey, Greg. Tell you what, man, you would take a bus cross country with me?
I mean, you are
You still got it in you, man. You can still, I've seen your Instagram posts. You got, seen you lifting weights, lifting people.
But you sort of became synonymous with doing these incredible sports voices, but you've sort of veered out of that as well. You're not
Well,
just...
I was, I actually started out doing more stuff outside of that, and then I was doing the NFL on Fox, and people started to know me more for the Madden and that type of stuff as well. But I have this niche in sports because of when back when I was on the NFL on Fox, and, you know, with Terry Bradshaw every week going, not Thunder Frank, you got to find some better stuff to do. I'm going to go eat myself some cereal. What are you talking about?
I was just looking at the
set.
That's the set. Yeah, thanks for helping me with
no
that
problem.
Word.
I got you.
All right, just I was. That was terrible. Can't think of it. I tell you what, man. When the words don't come, all I keep thinking of Shannon Sharp just going skip, 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 skip. I just want to walk behind them over there. Skip, 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 skip. Now skip. Yeah. Like
he's so good.
He has more in one word. It's just one word. He can say, like, he's mad at you. Yep.
Have you ever, you've probably done.
He's happy. Hold on. He's happy. Yeah.
Let him finish the whole thing. Yep.
Yeah, I got a bit I worked on.
Gosh,
no, I was going to lead him to it. It's like the when you're in either improv comedy or the comedy training where you have to do a whole scene, but you can only say one word. And you can tell a story.
Right.
You can tell a story with just the...
Give me something. I'll tell you how Shannon would say it.
Okay. Shannon telling Skip that the Cowboys have traded Dak Prescott.
Skip.
Yeah.
That's it?
That's it? Oh, that's the whole thing?
The whole point was one word.
One word. Don't you know your own game?
No, you say the word. Never mind. You didn't
say the word. I get what you say.
You say the word a bunch of
times. Over.
Yeah, you have the conversation.
But I can say it in one word.
You did.
So just one.
You do so many impressions.
Yeah, hold on. Skip.
It's perfect.
All right. Sorry.
You do so many impressions. Like, do you have a favorite?
It's like trying to pick a favorite child, which is my son at this point. Yeah. So, I don't really. When they're new, they're interesting to me. But the difficult thing about that, like I was talking about with the Patrick Mahomes, I can do it when I'm by myself and it's pretty decent, but when I come out here and start getting all the energy going and stuff like that, it gets difficult to do. So, no, I don't really have a favorite. Whatever people are reacting to at the time is something that I probably like to do.
Have you seen The Irishman?
Yeah.
So Pacino and De Niro back together. I hear they're going to be together to watch the Super Bowl.
Oh, you
yeah. I'm just kidding. How do you think that's going to go?
Just like
so,
that.
I heard you watch Super Bowls. Yes.
This is unbelievable right now.
And I also watch pregame shows. Whoa! That's a promo! What do you think, Shannon? Skip! Skip! Skip!
Frank! Don't ever leave.
Jenna,
just be with us always. I asked you nothing. I sat here and laughed.
There's something just for you.
Oh, I can't believe you have to remind me. Diehard Seinfeld fan. Not casual.
That's like when they were saying Seinfeld, like, what do you want from me?
Yes! What's the deal with airplane peanuts?
I have no idea, Jerry. No idea what's going on. Hey, Jerry, this is going to get a little crazy.
My mouth is wide open because of how good it is. I mean, in the transition.
The transitioning, I can't imagine.
You are a hitter, aren't you? You're
yeah, I just think of it. Yeah.
Holy shit. You can't talk to me without, like, you know what? You know what? It's like, what are you doing? Morse code that I'm like, yeah. It's like, oh, do it in one word. Here. Oh, you didn't understand what I was talking about? Just do a bunch of impressions. Oh, that's terrible. That's really crazy. That's what I was saying about skip.
As the owner, manager, and coach of the Dallas Cowboys, I believe that this all will be.
Where are you going with some of this stuff, man? And that's when Frank realized he didn't even know who it was anymore.
That was good. So good.
I'm going to go work on my Patrick Mahomes because people are going
to
complain. This is what I'm going to get from people. His Patrick Mahomes wasn't any good, and he high-fived too many people and clapped a whole bunch. Garbage!
Frank, thank you so much. You can check out much more from Frank Caliendo, the whole Frank Caliendo cast. Frank. Much appreciated.
Oh,
you and everyone that
thanks,
you brought
buddy.
To the set.
Oh, thanks.
Take a break.
TurboTax is here to help this tax season by making tax filing easier for you. They've made it their mission to give you all the tools and advice you need to get your taxes done with confidence, like making uploading your W-2 as easy as taking a picture. Just use your phone or tablet to simply snap a picture of your W-2, then watch your information appear in the right place in your tax return. You can be sure you're filing your taxes correctly while at the same time making sure you're getting the best possible refund. TurboTax. All people are tax people.
We are here Loomis Park in Miami Beach, site of Super Bowl 54. It's a beautiful day. The sun is out. We couldn't be happier to be here, and we couldn't be happier to welcome in Saints star running back Alvin Kamara.
What up, man? Good to see you, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Wow.
They're happy to see you, man.
They're excited to see you.
I don't though see any Saints jerseys. That's a little disrespectful to our guy.
It's all right. Full lot of respect.
So, Alvin, you joined us in New York a month into your career. Yeah. I think you guys had a really early bye week that year.
Yeah.
You had already flashed. You already said, "Oh, this is at least for a better player as a rookie than I thought was going to be coming in the league as a mid round pick." You're now 3 years in. You've made three Pro Bowls. You're a guy who has continued to show your dual threat as a back. What do you think's been the biggest key to your maturation as a player and to your success so early?
Man, I think just ending up in a great spot, you know, being in New Orleans, having Sean Payton, having Drew Brees, having, you know, Mark Ingram early in my career, and just older guys like Ted Ginn to, you know, kind of guide me and, you know, help me make that transition from being a college player to a professional player. You know, that's been a tremendous help.
When you were with us, Adrian Peterson was on the team mm-hmm. briefly, and you talked about how you have one of the all-time greats in Peterson nearing the end, even though he's had a great time in Washington yeah. now. And you also talked about Ingram.
Yeah.
But Ingram, I feel like, didn't really get the national recognition till this year with the Lamar and the yeah. big trust, all that. But you gave us a little bit of a window into that. What type of teammate was he, and how much do you think some of your success now as you're approaching being a veteran came from learning from Mark?
Man, I mean, a lot of my success came from Mark. You know, right from the jump when I came in, you know, he welcomed me with open arms, made sure I knew everything that was going on, made sure he, you know, kept me in the loop with, you know, offensive schemes, like just had a move in the organization and just everything. You know, he told me to come to him if I ever needed anything, and it was true from day one to, you know, when he ended up leaving. So, you know, definitely appreciative of Mark. And, you know, I always tell him, like, he helped me a lot. You know, it's part of the reason why I was so successful was because of him.
We see so many players come out of the draft and they're high draft picks and they get thrown right into the fire, sometimes on not so great teams. And yeah. there's a lot of pressure on them and they're forced to play well from day one. You were lucky to have Ingram there as well. Like you mm-hmm. said, how important was it that you weren't, all the pressure wasn't just focused solely on you when you got there?
Man, that was a big help. You know, not only Mark, but I had Adrian also.
Yep, he was
you
there.
You know, in the early part of my season. You know, both of them, they just told me to be me. You know, I think that was like one of the things when I first got there, I was kind of in my head like, oh man, I got to do this or do that. They're like,
yeah.
man, just calm down and play. Like, you fine. Like, you know, when your opportunity comes, you'll take advantage of it. They were just like, you know, if I have any questions, ask them and, you know, just play. Don't think, just play. So.
So I'm going to come from a different perspective because I get it going into a locker room, having that veteran leadership
yeah.
and those guys to kind of really rely on, if you will, to kind of guide you. But you were ready to play.
Yeah.
When your number was called, you were ready. What do you accredit that to? Was it your coaching? Was there a specific coach? The system in Tennessee, like, what made you so ready when your number was called?
I think it was just what I experienced throughout my college career, you know, just having to transfer and having to, you know, be at the top, go back down and, you know, start over and grind back up and then, you know, transfer again and end up in Tennessee and, you know, having to prove myself again in Tennessee and, you know, ending up in New Orleans and, you know, just having that same mentality, like, I'm just going to keep my head down and grind and prove myself. And, you know, whatever product ends up on that field, I know that's going to be the best product. And I know it's going to put me in the best situation and be successful. So I think, you know, just being able to come in and work and not worry about anything else that's going on, I think that's what, you know, helped.
Before we talk about the game, I got two quarterback questions for you.
Gotcha.
First one. Do you think Drew Brees is back next year?
Do I think Drew is back? I think Drew can play as long as he wants to. So, you know, I was just with him at Pro Bowl down in Orlando. Drew, if you're listening, I love you. If you want to come back, come on back. I think he'll be back, though.
Okay, the second part. Let's just assume for a moment that Drew decides it's been an amazing career,
mm-hmm.
won a championship, I have all the records, I'm
yeah.
going to retire. Do you guys have one, without Drew, one or two starting quarterbacks on the roster, absent of Drew Brees?
I mean, we got two pretty good ones. We got Teddy Bridgewater, which, I mean, everybody saw what he did this year. And we got Taysom Hill. I think everybody sees what he does game in and game out. So, you know, it's just depending on what, you know, like how things shake out. Both of them are capable, I think.
How tough was it? I think a lot of people thought that this year's Saints team, the way you guys were playing, the path was carved out for you.
Yeah.
And then when you didn't win, as a fan, it's really hard to process how your team's not it anymore. But as a player, I'm sure you were hearing what people were saying. I'm sure you guys, you understood how well you were playing.
Yeah.
How hard and jarring is it to know when your season ends, knowing you had the tools in place and the right players to get all the way this
year?
Man,
it's tough. I mean, we've been there 3 years in a row. So, you know, it's hard when, you know, you're tasting it, especially this year. We kind of got, like you said, the path mapped out for us. You know, we feeling good. We're playing well at the right time. And, you know, it just didn't happen for us. But, you know, as a player, it's like you just got to compartmentalize it. You got to shake back and find a way to come back next year even better.
Talk about a little bit about the game you had against a team that is representing the NFC in this Super Bowl, the 49ers. The game you guys had down in New Orleans was a phenomenal game. Mm-hmm. What did you see in this team that we may not have seen or that the Chiefs may need to prepare for in this game?
I mean, they're obviously a great team, great defense. Offense is explosive. I think they play with a lot of heart. They play together. That's like some of the intangible things that, you know, as a fan watching, you might not see. You're just looking for Jimmy G to throw a ball to Butler or, you know, Mostert to get a big run. But those guys play with heart and they play with good energy, you know. New Orleans is a hard place to play in, but they came in and, you know, they had a game plan and they stuck to it. And, I mean, the energy that they had it was phenomenal.
All right, I'm gonna drill down on this for a moment because full disclosure, I'm from Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I know I do this professionally, but I'm a Chiefs fan. Yeah. I want the Chiefs to win on Sunday.
Yeah.
The Niners are a great defense.
Mm-hmm.
You guys hung 46 on them. You guys, that was one of the best games of the season. What was the key to you guys unlocking something offensively against San Francisco that no one else this year really has been able to do? And maybe, and I'm sure Kansas City's watching that film trying to see it, what did you think it was? Why were you guys so successful offensively in that game?
I think we just came in and we had a plan and, you know, we knew what we wanted to do. We had a great week of practice and, you know, I think we
But what was the plan? Tell it, come on, you ain't playing again this year. What was the plan? Tell us the plan.
Okay. I mean, we knew they had a great defensive front. You know, we knew it was going to be hard to run the ball. We knew we had to get the ball out, try to work their edges, and, you know, just kind of take advantage of, you know, the things that they kind of lack in. And
okay. All right, that's enough. Know. I got it. Yeah, that works.
You got it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alvin, when Drew Brees went down this year and Teddy Bridgewater stepped up, you didn't have to place as much pressure on Bridgewater. You all kind of gathered around. Everyone else sort of stepped up, and he was great, and I don't think you lost under Bridgewater this year.
Yeah.
Now you look at a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, where that team is great, and they have a ton of weapons around him, and not a lot is asked of Jimmy Garoppolo except to go out there and maybe not turn the ball over. Is he underrated as a quarterback when you watch him play?
I think, like you said, for that reason, I think he is, because he doesn't have to do a lot. You know, there's a lot of weapons around him. Raheem Mostert does a great job. Tevin Coleman, when he's healthy, he's doing what he has to do. I mean, they got a great receiving core that, you know, they stretch the field and make plays. So, I mean, a lot of the time he's just dumping the ball down and guys are making plays or, you know, the running backs running, you know, getting great yards. They have a great rushing game. So I think Jimmy G's a little underrated, but, you know, we're going to see Super Bowl Sunday.
You are the first guest we've ever had who's brought their own deodorant to the set, which is interesting.
Yeah. You're and by the way,
new old
what? Look, Jenna. Afterwards.
What? Oh, please, Nick. Okay. New Old Spice Ultra Smooth line.
Yeah.
Something else. Tell us about it, please.
Man, so Old Spice, you know, I might not be a low-key guy on the field, but off the field, I like low-key smooth scent. So
ooh,
it's ultra smooth line by Old Spice. Old Spice, I mean, it's great. You know, and we got right here, we got Clean Slate, which is the new antiperspirant. It's also it's dermatologist tested, so great, you know, thing to add to my toiletry bag, so carrying that with me.
Perfect. Awesome. Appreciate Alvin. Have a great week.
Congratulations.
Enjoy.
Yes, sir.
You deserve every bit of it.
Appreciate
man.
That.
Absolutely,
good stuff.
Man. Love watching you play, man.
Thank you.
Congratulations on another great season. Back here at Loomis Park in Miami Beach for Super Bowl 54. It is beautiful. That is a real Ferris wheel. Nick and I are going to take a couple rolls. Do we take a couple rolls on that thing?
I don't know. I think rides is the word.
Rides.
And I also...
Rides. Yeah. Rides. We're going to take some rides. Well, we're going to take both of those things. We are here for Super Bowl 54.
Stephon Diggs. I've not seen the commercials. Your hand's sticky. Am I going to...
Good morning. How y'all doing? How are you doing?
A lot of things going on right now. Yes, we are joined by Viking star wide receiver. Stephon, thanks so much for being with us this morning. It's a lot going on this week. I'm glad you're here with us. You want to start talking about the Super Bowl? Do you have a pick yet? Do you have a team that you, is it hard as a player to choose? Because I'm sure you're friends with some of the guys. So is that yes, you're not going to give us a pick?
I will give you a pick. It's a hard process because, of course, being a player, you want to play in it. But you can't say, woe is me, and just forget about it. So to pick, it's hard to pick a side right now. You know, anticipating great defense, great offense. I'm always going to pick great defense just because, you know, I've been a part of it. I played both teams. Right. And that was interesting enough to be on both sides of seeing how they work. So we'll wait for me to pick.
Oh, give me a little time. So you guys, obviously, you have the playoff win and then the Niners game. In the Niners game, you make that big play, and it's like, oh, maybe they're, I know they're 13-3, but maybe they're a little rusty. You guys have played well the week before, and then the offense, with respect, kind of ground to a halt. Yeah. Was that, in your opinion, more about what you guys didn't do, or how great this Niners defense has been all year and continue to be in that game?
They've been consistently good, you know. Throughout, their D-line flies around, their linebackers fly around. They're playing with a lot of swag as well. You know, they're playing with that energy that you need as a defense. So more testament to them because we try to do everything, you know, the game plan. We just tried our best, tried to execute, but it didn't fall the way we wanted to. And when we tried to adjust, they still got a good D-line.
You had a phenomenal year. Let me just say that.
Oh, thanks, Bob.
And it was more interesting and intriguing for me to watch you this year because your counterpart, Adam Thielen, goes down.
Yeah.
You step up, and you're the focus of that offense in the passing game. What was your mentality? What was your approach, you know, being a kind of a 1A guy, number one receiver with Adam Thielen? What was your approach this year?
Just as far as how it all went down, of course, you'd hate to see a guy go down, especially a guy that you call your brother, your teammate, a guy that you grind with day in and day out. And for me, I would say my approach was the same. You know, I came into work the same way every day. Everybody knows me to work really, really hard in practice, a lot of energy. I'm very charismatic, so I bring that type of energy to the table every day. And in the game, I just try to come alive. You know, that's my favorite place to be at. So just doing my job.
Look, you never shy away from how you really feel about things. You're very open and honest with the media after games sometimes and on the sidelines. There were a couple times this season where we saw you get frustrated for whatever reason.
Yeah.
What caused some of that frustration for you this season?
I would say somewhat to the point of being the only one out there. You get a lot of cover two, or if I'm this 3x1 receiver on the backside and they go cloud, I'm out of the play. I don't have many routes I can run. So as far as like consistently being doubled or cover two or however you dress it up, it's not a fun place to be in, you know, especially when you're the only receiver out there. And you got some young guys that can play. You got great tight ends, and you got to get them involved as well. But to be in my position, it's not always the most fun.
And listen, you know this, that I'm a huge fan of yours. But
yes, sir,
to be fair, because you're here now, so I have to say what I said a month ago, I was critical of you in the Saints game, the game you guys won. Because you guys are winning, and it seemed like your emotions boiled over a bit. But I had someone real smart say to me, I don't think you understand, and Greg can attest to this as well, the dependency of the receiver position, how it's one of the few spots in sports where you can do everything right and still not necessarily dictate anything if you don't get the ball. So it kind of made me want to kind of pull back some of the criticism. But I am curious for you in that spot, how helpless is a word you never want to use with pro athletes, but to a degree, how helpless you feel because it's not just about you doing your job in order to help your team.
Yeah, I'm kind of like replay that situation. We're up 13-10. It wasn't a blowout. It wasn't 21-0. The score's 13-10. I get frustrated because you want to do well. You want perfection all the time. And people expect perfection from you. So as you want that for your teammates and you want that for the guys around you, you expect nothing less. And your coaches don't expect nothing less from you. So my approach to the game is, you know, you want to do everything right. And even when I do everything right, it's not going to always happen the way you want to. So being frustrated is just going to be a part of the game for me. As a player, you wear your heart on your sleeve. You wear your emotions on the sleeve. And for me, I'm going to always push my guys to be, you know, the best that they can be. Later on in that game, or not even later on, like, I mean, a minute later, they have another video of me going to my quarterback telling them, you don't have to force the ball to me, you know, because that's the kind of player I am. You know, I've always been that way. I want to win, and I want to win at a high level. So regardless of how I get frustrated and how I deal with it, I still want to win.
And that's why I didn't have a problem with it, because I've watched you over your career do that over and over again, time in and time out, be frustrated as a receiver, understanding how dependent you are, but then also knowing I'm that guy. You gotta have that belief of I'm that guy. Just give me an opportunity, put me in positions to where I can be successful.
Exactly.
In this game, two really good play callers. You had a good play caller. You lost your play caller. Yeah. Like, how does that change things with you guys moving forward? You talked about getting cloud coverage, cover two, and all those things, moving yourself around. What would you like to see in a play caller?
Well, we have a great guy. Coach Kubiak, he's well respected. He's well known in this league, and you know we love him. We appreciate him. He's always played like the back scene this past year, but he's always been like a key part in our offense. So for us, we have a lot of respect for him and what he likes to do. So for me, just approaching it how I always approach it. You know, he's not necessarily new, but we did build a relationship over this past season. So kind of looking forward to see where we go from there. You know, and we trust him. You know, also hats off to Stefanski. You know, he did a great job for us moving on. So. Congratulations.
How do you think Odell and Jarvis are gonna do with him?
I think they'll like him. You know, from my specific point of view, he brings structure, organization. You know, the way he talks to us is more of a player to coach, but respectfully, and he understands guys that want to win. He loves that fire, and he says he don't mind what you do, as long as you play ball. So.
We had a lot of questions about Kirk Cousins coming into this season. I think Kirk Cousins had a lot of questions about Kirk Cousins coming into this
season. That's what they say.
Right, that's what they say. Could he play on the big stage? Could he play in the big game? Could he play when the pressure is at its highest? He had a great year. I think he answered a lot of those questions with a couple of big games as he got to the end of the season and then into the postseason. Is there anything that changed? Was there something that was different in him this season that you saw, or the way he approached the games? What was it about Kirk coming into this season? Because I think he did prove to a lot of people that maybe that monkey's off his back.
Just as far as like getting more comfortable, I would say, just as far as like being a quarterback, I don't know what it's like to be a quarterback, but I assume that it's pretty hard. And you know, you have a lot that's on your shoulders as far as like with his past and whatever all the outsiders say about him. But for him, as far as his approach has been the same, you know, as far as like how he addresses football, how he addresses us, how he leads our offense, and how he leads our team. So. I wouldn't say nothing clicked. I would say we ran the ball really efficiently. We ran the ball extremely well.
Yeah. You
know, shout out to Dalvin Cook. He can hold the load and really do his job. So as far as like opening up everything else to play action, you know, kind of taking the pressure off of him doing X, Y, Z, he just did what he could. And, you know, it worked out well for him.
I've got one more question for you. But before that, I want the audience to know something, and I hope it doesn't embarrass you.
Not at all.
I saw the emotion in your eyes a couple minutes ago when you were talking about, and you guys won that playoff game, when you were talking about, I could see you almost holding back some of the emotion.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it gave me, at least sitting a foot from you, a window into how competitive you, like, really, reading it right.
Yes,
I'm not making that up. And that leads me to, you know, the tragedy from this weekend. And you tweeted and you talked about Kobe. And that competitive, Nate is what he will be remembered for amongst all the things. It's just fierce competitor. We've seen a lot of athletes, not just basketball players, talk about that he inspired them.
Yeah.
Why did he inspire you so much?
Oh, man. I grew up a Laker fan. My dad liked the Lakers, and we always used to watch it on the big screen. And he like never let you down. Like Kobe was like a killer. Like when there was opportunity there, he was going in. When there was blood in the water, he was going in. And you knew every time he was gonna hit the shot. You know, and to kind of hear when I was younger, just to love a player and to grow up, and you kind of get the background of him waking up at 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. to work out, and him putting a lot of effort and consistency into his game, it motivates you and inspires you still, like right now. At such a tragic time, you think to yourself that he wouldn't want you to be sad. He would want you to be happy, you know, and kind of continue to push, continue to grow as people, as men, you know, and as an athlete and as a competitor. I love Kobe. Like, I was a Kobe guy. I argue down, you know, as far as like the best to worst or however you want to address it. So it was tough for everybody, you know, and as a kid, you know, when you grow up on somebody and you lose them, I never had nothing like that, you know, and I haven't felt that way about losing somebody since my dad. So to lose Kobe and lose somebody that we love so much, it was definitely a hard time. And it's kind of sad. I'm kind of shaking a little bit. But
I think what we hear from you and is what we're seeing is that Kobe Bryant had an impact on people, not just in basketball, across sports, people outside of sports as well. And you can hear it in your voice how much of an impact he had on you as well. And I appreciate you sharing that with us. No, not at all.
We appreciate it.
We do want to take a little turn, though, and talk about why you're here with the Genesis, the official luxury vehicle of the NFL. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, right now, let me draw my emotions out of the way about that. But like you said, the official luxury vehicle of the NFL, they hooked me up with a G90 this week to get chauffeured around in. I've never been chauffeured around, you know, but what a better car to be in. It's nice, it's luxury. It's young and luxury, so it kind of fits me. And they're unveiling something pretty big tonight, so stay tuned.
There you go. Young and luxury, wearing the Dior jacket with the Prada shoes. Yeah. Gentlemen, come on. Hiding the diamond chain.
Is the car spacious?
Yes. I'll give you a ride one day. I'll see what I can do.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
Shotgun. Quickly, you promised us. Give us a pick.
All right, look, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I enjoyed my time up here, so I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Kansas City has all the swag, you know. They got a high potent offense, amazing Patrick Mahomes. But I was told by a little birdie that defense wins Super Bowls.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with San Fran.
Oh.
And I like KC, but I'm going to go with San Fran. I play both teams.
You okay? You still like them?
No, of course.
Is your heart okay?
No, good, man. Hey, thank you.
Stephon.
For the transparency.
No doubt. Absolutely,
that's
man.
Great.
Good morning.
That's great, man. Congrats to you.
And a big congratulations on everything you've done this season and continued success throughout. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.